Hi, Pastor Bill Woods here. I want to talk to you today about the wonderful things that we can know that Christ will take us through any situation if we'll trust in Him. He will give us strength. He will give us help. Sometimes He delivers us from the problem. Sometimes He just faces it with us and helps us to know how to maintain our strength and trust in Him. I want to talk to you today about the topic, with Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. You know, when our girls, Tammy and Kim, were little, they had a record by a little puppet named Marcy, who sang with a little squeaky voice, "With Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm." They played that song over and over, always reminding me that whatever I faced, I needed to be sure that Christ was in the vessel facing it with me. And it's still that way. That was played years ago, but Jesus Christ has shown Himself faithful, and as long as I'm faithful to Him, He will stand with me. John 15:5 says, "Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, if I don't have Christ in the vessel when the storm comes, my boat is going to get swamped. Luke chapter 8, verses 20 through to 25 says, "One day, Jesus said to His disciples, 'Let's cross over to the other side of the lake.' So they got into a boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke Jesus up, shouting, 'Master, Master, we're going to drown.' Well, when Jesus woke up, He rebuked the wind and the raging waves. The storm stopped, and all was calm. Then He asked them, 'Where is your faith?' The disciples were terrified and amazed. 'Who is this man?' they asked each other. 'When He gives a command, even the wind and waves obey Him.'" Mark tells us this miracle happened on the day Christ had encountered the opposition of His friends and enemies. That day had been full of ceaseless pressures and agonizing responsibilities, a day of physical and mental exhaustion. And so Jesus told His disciples that He needed to have a little rest. He said, "Let's go to the other side of the lake, the eastern shore." Now, this was about 5 to 7 miles from where they were, a pretty major trip without a motor on your boat. As they made their way across the lake, a huge storm suddenly broke. That's like life. Storms come to all of us, and when they hit, we must have help from our Lord. Christ doesn't leave us to face storms alone. He is in the storms with us. I want to talk about the crisis on the lake. Luke chapter 8, verse 23 said, "As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger." The lake, or the Sea of Galilee, as it's also called, is notorious for storms, which come with shattering and terrifying suddenness. It's like some of the storms that I saw when we lived in Cheyenne, Wyoming. They were sudden, almost without warning. All of a sudden, the sun was shining, and then all of a sudden, clouds came, and you had a horrific storm. I can remember one time when I took my girls out to a little park called Vitavu, out of Cheyenne, and we went in what I had at that time, a little mini-moke. It was just not much more than a golf cart. But we were going along. There was no top on it or anything, and a big storm came up, and it was blowing wind, and there was hail, and the girls were hollering at me about wanting to get home, how stupid it was that we had been out there and all. It was just kind of a horrible ordeal. I didn't know the storm was coming. There was no warning about it, but sure enough, there it was. I've seen temperatures drop 60 degrees in an hour back there in Cheyenne, Wyoming. This storm on the Sea of Galilee is described by Mark in Mark 4:37. It says, "But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the edges of the boat and the sides of the boat so that it was nearly swamped." Luke 8:23 says that the wind and raging waves during this storm were horrible, but soon a fierce storm came down on the lake, Luke tells us. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. Matthew chapter 8, verse 24 calls it a fierce storm without warning. It says, "Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat." Now, the high cliffs that overlook the Sea of Galilee are there, they cause such storms to come from the differences in temperatures between the seacoast and the mountains nearby. The Sea of Galilee lies 680 feet below sea level and is surrounded by hills, especially on the east side where they reach 2,000 feet high. These heights are a source of cool, dry air. In contrast, directly around the sea, down on the where the sea is, the climate is semi-tropical with warm, moist air. The large difference in height between surrounding land and the sea causes large temperature and pressure changes. This creates strong winds dropping to the sea, funneling through the hills. The Sea of Galilee is small, and the winds descend directly to the center of the lake with violent results. When the contrasting air masses meet, a storm can come up quickly without any warning. Small boats that are caught out on the sea are in immediate danger. They need to get into shore as quickly as they can. The Sea of Galilee is relatively shallow, just 200 feet at its greatest depth. A shallow lake is whipped up by wind more rapidly than the ones with deep water, where energy is more readily absorbed. Maybe you are like those disciples. You've been caught in a storm today. Is yours a storm of domestic problems, a war within the family, a divided family? You said things you can't take back. You burned bridges that you can never rebuild. You know, there is anger and resentment, and the atmosphere of your home is charged with cruelty. That storm is in so many homes today. For others, it's a storm of physical problems. You have got a malady that is eating you, and you're frightened by the unknown. The future is frightening. Maybe it's a storm of doubt. You don't feel as close to God as you once did, and you wonder if you even have a relationship with God anymore. The old truth just doesn't seem like enough anymore. Thomas had doubts and fears until he put his finger in the nail prints in Jesus' hands. Maybe you should ask Jesus to show you the nail prints in his hands that were put there for you. You know, some of you might be facing the storm of decision. You are at a crossroads, and there's no word from heaven giving you direction. Maybe it's a financial storm that's depleting you as you try to meet your obligations. A pastor friend of mine in Canada told me one time that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Ask him to sell some. The disciples were in a turmoil. They were fearful as the boat rocked and rolled, and it was night, and they were in the midst of a terrible storm, and Jesus was asleep. The storm was so severe that the ship was being swamped with water. The disciples were fishermen. I mean, they were not novices. They'd been through storms before, but nothing of this magnitude. They knew the lake, and yet they were in this storm that their boat was sinking, and they felt like they were in great danger, and this was a crisis situation. The disciples panicked. In Luke chapter 8, verse 24, it says the disciples went and woke up him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." The boats of the Galilean fishermen were large and hard to maneuver, and they had one main mast and a large three-cornered sail. Jesus was asleep on the deck like a platform there when the storm came up, and the disciples, they were in hopes it would wake him up, but he kept on sleeping. So the disciples woke Jesus and told him that they were going to drown. Jesus got up and he rebuked the raging wind and waves, and immediately the storm ceased. Jesus demonstrated his power to still the storm. Whatever your storm is today, Jesus can still make it quiet if you'll let him. I think this storm was another attempt by Satan to kill Jesus before he could redeem us on the cross. I mean, you rebuke a spirit, not wind and waves. Suddenly, everything after Jesus said, calm down, everything was calm. A stillness descended on the lake. Christ's mastery over the elements and his enemies was complete. Now the terror that had gripped the disciples was gone. Peace reigned for them. Jesus had cared for the problem. Henry J. Taylor was an American journalist who wrote of an experience that he had when he was a boy. His father owned a mine. When he was a boy, he went with his dad to inspect a new elevator being installed in the mine. Before the elevator cage was fitted, someone had to descend down the shaft in a barrel at the end of the rope to make sure everything was smooth and ready. Taylor went down in the barrel with his dad, and it was terrifying. The barrel was swinging and swaying at the end of the rope and banging and bumping against the sides of the shaft. And Henry's heart was beating like a trip hammer because he was so terrified. But his dad's strong arm was around him, and his dad kept saying, "Don't be afraid, son. Don't be afraid, Henry. I'm right here." At the bottom of the shaft, they emerged into a strange, dark, frightening underground world. A miner that was down there warned them to be careful of poisonous gas that had been found in the mine. That warning made things even more terrifying for Henry. The only thing in the whole horrendous ordeal was that Henry's dad was there with him. A miner asked Henry, "Aren't you scared?" "Well," Henry answered honestly, "I'd be awfully scared except my father is with me." You know, that's where I am in this wicked world today. I'd be awfully scared, except my Father is with me. Then, you know, Christ who confounds, in Luke 8, verse 25, then he asked them, "Where's your faith?" The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him." Jesus questioned the disciples about their faith. We get the impression that the disciples shouldn't have been terrified. I mean, they should have trusted Jesus to know that he was going to take them through. He had said when they started the trip, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." He did not say, "Let's go to the middle of the lake and sink like a rock." The one who is Lord of history and nature was present in that boat. And if that was the case, why should they be afraid? The disciples were amazed. They kept asking each other, "Who is this?" This is a very important question that Luke didn't want the readers to miss. This was a nature miracle, different because it showed the lordship of Christ not only over man, but over the world. Luke chapter 8, verse 25 says, "When he gives a command, even the wind and waves obey him." You know, I see storm clouds gathering today. So do you. We think about our enemies, Russia, China, India, etc. And we keep thinking that there's going to be a war. There's going to be something happening. I want you to know you can trust Jesus Christ. It looks like storm clouds are gathering in the Mideast that will affect the whole world. Let me say this. Don't worry. Put your trust in Jesus. Jesus is in the boat with us today, too. Israel is celebrating their 78th anniversary since being recognized as a nation on May 14, 1948. The Palestinians have tried to destroy them from their very beginning. Israel is under attack from Hamas and all the Palestinian nations, and you know that they're backed by the Arab League, especially Iran, who have dropped hundreds of rockets and bombs on Israel, destroying property and taking lives. This started when Egypt, Transjordan, Syria, and expeditionary forces from Iraq and Iran entered Palestine. The invading forces took control of the Arab areas and immediately attacked Israeli forces and several Jewish settlements. Remember, on October 7, 2023, that Hamas invaded Israel during the Jewish holiday of Simchat Torah. 1,219 people were murdered instantly, and 251 hostages were taken, mostly Israeli civilians. It was the deadliest attack in Israel's history as a nation, and the worst against Jewish people since the Holocaust. Muslims of the Arab League have vowed to annihilate Israel. Egypt, Transjordan, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, and North Yemen all want to destroy Israel. I know that people say, well, you know, it looks like there's forging peace over there. I want you to know there will not be peace until Jesus Christ comes again to take leadership over the world. The slogan that people use, from the river to the sea, means the complete destruction of Israel and all the Jewish people from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, thus giving the Palestinian liberation and equality. It is a demand for the dismantling of the state of Israel. The Arabs have tried many times to eliminate Israel. Probably the most famous effort was the Six-Day War in 1967, when the Arab nations came against Israel, and the war was over in 6 days. Israel, that little bitty town or country, was victorious. Then again, the Yom Kippur War in 1973. There have been over 14 attempts to destroy Israel since 1948, and each one has miserably failed. You know why? Because God has taken care of them. Jesus is in the boat with them. What's going on is really a family feud dating back to the time of Abraham, who sired Ishmael from Hagar, Sarah's Egyptian servant, and then Isaac, the son of Abraham's wife Sarah. You see, God had promised Abraham that he would have a son as his heir. Abraham and Sarah were way beyond childbearing age, and the son had still not come, and so they decided to help God with his plan, and Sarah gave Abraham her servant Hagar, an Egyptian servant, to produce a son. They should have waited for God's timing to fulfill God's plan. They would have saved the world a whole lot of trouble. You know, sometimes when we bring our problems to God, God has always an answer. Sometimes his timing just seems terrifying because we want the answer quicker, but his timing is always on time. Somebody said God always answers, but sometimes he scares us to death before he does. The lesson we should learn is to wait upon God and God's timing and not run ahead. The conflict today is because the Arabs, who were descendants of Ishmael, think that the land promised to Abraham should be theirs because Ishmael was actually the oldest son of Abraham. They also think Mohammed was a descendant of Ishmael. The Israelites, also descendants of Abraham, think the land is theirs because Isaac was the promised seed. Hence, thousands of years of conflict that will eventually lead to a war that will destroy the world. It's kind of interesting to know that what's going on is just a big family feud. The Bible teaches that the Battle of Armageddon will take place at the end of the seven-year tribulation period that is soon to come upon us, I believe, by all the signs that are being fulfilled in prophecy. All the nations of the world will gather in an attempt at the end of the tribulation to defeat and destroy the Jews and the city of Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. And again, there's prophecy fulfilled by President Trump when he moved the capital of Israel to Jerusalem a couple years ago. The Battle of Gog and Magog, described in Ezekiel 38 and 39, will happen at this time. After the armies of the world had defeated half the city of Jerusalem, Jesus Christ will return. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 7 describes that. The return of Christ is the second coming of Christ. The return at this time is the second coming. It's not to be confused with the rapture. The rapture is going to come, I believe, before the tribulation, and God is going to take his bride, the church, each one of us who know Jesus as our Savior. He's going to take us to be with him at the marriage feast of the Lamb. And during that seven-year period, all hell is going to break loose here on the earth as the Antichrist rules the world for 7 years. Revelation chapter 16, 14 through 16 describes these events. Revelation 19, 11 through 16 says, Christ is going to bring the armies of heaven with him at the end of the tribulation period, which will include the saints of all ages. Christians, you and I will be there too if you know him as your Savior, and angels, and all the nations of the world are going to be there on hand. Revelation chapter 19, 15, and 16 says, Christ will make war against the armies of the world, and they will be defeated. Let me read that to you out of the New King James Version. It says, Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I say, Amen, hallelujah, praise God. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 says, For God has said, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, The Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me as long as God is on my side? Let Jesus still your storms. Whatever you're facing today, let Jesus give you the strength you need. Henry J. Taylor said, Remember, I'd be awfully scared except my Father is with me. And that's exactly how I feel about life. I'd be awfully scared except my Father and my God is with me. In fact, He's right here in the vessel, facing the storm with me. I would like to join with Marcy in saying, with Christ in the vessel, I can smile at the storm. I was thinking I should sing it in Marcy's voice. Maybe that would be too much. But here's what the song says. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. Smile at the storm. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. As we go sailing home. Sailing, sailing home. Sailing, sailing home. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. Marcy did it this way. With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. Oh, well, you get the idea. Listen, is Jesus calming your storms today? Why don't you accept him as your Lord and Savior and let him take you through safely to whatever you're facing, to total victory? One of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come and take his church to be with him for all eternity. Don't you want to be a part of that? Maybe, you know, we'll die before Jesus Christ comes in the rapture. If that's the case, don't you want your heart to be ready so when you face God, he can say, Enter thou into the things prepared for those who love me? and we'll spend eternity with him. That's forever in God's holy heaven. What a wonderful idea that God has to save us, forgive us of our sins. And all we have to do is confess our sins to him, repent, which means turn our lives around, be sorry for the sins we've committed, ask him to forgive us, and accept him as our Lord and Savior. And he will write our name in his book of life, and we'll be ready to be in heaven with him forever. If you haven't done that, would you please do that today so that you don't miss out, so that when he comes, you don't face the tribulation, and after the last battle, you don't have to go to hell, but you can go to be with Jesus forever. Father, help us each one to draw close to you. Help those who don't know you as their Savior to realize they're playing a foolish game because we don't know when you're going to come, and Lord, we want to be ready. I would ask, Jesus, that you'll speak to each heart that's hearing this today and let them know that with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know how to get in touch with me. Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can call or text me at 623-845-2741. Say, I would ask you, if you haven't done it already, why don't you tune into my website? You get there by typing lowercase Church of the Galilean, all run together as one big word, churchofthegalilean.com. And that will bring you all the sermons I've preached on this podcast since 2020. God bless you. Hope to talk to you later. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I think the best decision you can make is to let him get in the boat with you so you can face all the storms to get with him.